Chapter 29. For the Emperor. The smog lit up ahead of them, an ethereal glow of sickly pale luminescence. "You can see that?" Cheta panted, gesturing vaguely with the las pistol in her left hand. She felt like she'd near killed herself, guiding her companions this far this quickly, and her lungs were no longer replenished in the way they once had been by the air she was sucking in through her respirator's grill. "We can see it," Nagiri confirmed grimly. The Inquisitor was a brooding shadow beneath glowing red eyes, holding a plasma pistol in one ceramite gauntlet and a long, ornate power sword in the other. "That is the location of this foulness?" "That's it," Cheta told her. The skeins of power were thickening and becoming more vivid to her warp sight, but she could sense that they had a long way to grow yet before they reached their full potential. On the one hand, that was encouraging. The rite didn't look to be near completion. On the other hand, as a hurting, tired woman on foot, without the protection of a Geller field or a spacecraft, the scope of what was coming terrified her. "I can make out a few heat signatures ahead, but the smog is confusing most of my senses," Nagiri announced over the vox. "We don't know how many of them there are or what abilities they may have, but I don't think we have time to reconnoitre. On my signal!" The Inquisitor paused, as though considering, then appeared to come to a conclusion. "Kill everything that isn't us," she finished decisively. "What about Niklau?" Cheta asked. "Kill him too," Nagiri replied, her tone clearly suggesting that she thought the question to be a redundant one.
"Yeah, I'd say we should definitely try to kill him,"
Fel put in. "Are you certain that killing him will stop the ritual?" Cheta asked.
"No, but I don't have any better ideas," Nagiri said shortly. "If you, Carmine or Nero, gain any insights on that front, then please feel free to share them. Otherwise, I find that killing a chaos witch rarely makes things worse. Is everyone ready?"
There was a quiet chorus of assent over the vox.
"Very well then. Let us bring righteous fury and death to these heretical scum!"
Nagiri raised her power sword.
"For the Emperor! For the Emperor!"
echoed the rest of Cheta's companions, and they all surged forwards. Ahead of them, the darkness and gloom was split by a momentary muzzle flash and the booming sound of a simple but powerful firearm. Granga sprawled backwards, blown off her feet by the force of the shot, and didn't rise again. Rose fired his hail gun from the hip in response, and the muffled scream that sounded indicated that he'd hit his target. Cheta fired blindly, working on the basis that so long as she avoided her fellow's backs, then she was unlikely to do any harm and might actually hit something. But she was already left behind, and her available angles of fire were narrowing considerably. In a few more moments, her guards and Nagiri's team would be scarcely more distinct than the shadowy shapes of the cultists picked out against the witchlight of the ritual. She tried to increase her pace. The ground was uneven, and her reserves of strength were low. But she didn't want to be left behind in case Radomir Niklau decided to step out of thin air and add another warp eye to his collection. Something huge shifted in the smog, and a stentorian roaring reached her ears. By the Emperor, the cultists had a monster with them. She saw a figure that must have been Carmine make a sweeping motion with his force staff, and then she winced and wobbled as a crushing pressure enveloped her head for a moment. The huge shape was thrown backwards, but Carmine dropped to one knee from the effort it had taken, and the others formed up around him protectively. Hellguns spat supercharged las bolts and were answered by the bang and chatter of crude stub guns and auto weapons. In the smog-occluded darkness, it seemed everyone's best chance of hitting an enemy was to target muzzle flash. Her companions looked to be better armed, but were there enough of them?
"Burn, heretics!"
Fel shouted, and suddenly the darkness was lit up by a tongue of brilliant flame. He swept his combi weapon back and forth, heedless of the panicked shots that whined around him. Burning shapes staggered away, screaming. Then fire erupted around Fel himself, and he collapsed to the ground, howling in agony. For a moment, Cheta thought that the ex-guardsman had fallen victim to some sort of horrendous malfunction of his weapon. But then she saw twin points of flickering fire, over to one side, past the coiling tendrils of power that were reaching out from where the ritual had been conducted. It was hard to focus her pineal eye in the material realm when that warp energy was so prominent in her vision. But she thought she could detect the spark of a psyker there
It wasn't a great leap of logic to assume that the two things could be related. And she lifted a trembling hand to fire her las pistol as she stumbled forwards. Half a dozen bolts of highly focused light seared away into the gloom. Chetta had no idea if she hit her target. But if she didn't, then the Psyker could not have been anywhere near as calm when being shot at as Fel had been. The twin points winked out, as did the flames that had been consuming Fel.
The enemies are this way,
Jekri snapped at her, discharging their arc rifle with a sizzling crack. Maybe the ones that you can see, Chetta muttered. But then again, the former Skitarius didn't have a warp eye to pick out Psykers. Rose and Villa knelt down in an attempt to tend to Fel's smoking flesh. But Rose jerked and slumped sideways. His helmet hadn't stopped the las bolt that had just pulped his skull. Davis of Rawl sprang in front of Villa and Fel, his storm shield deflecting further hostile fire, and he charged forwards with his power blade crackling in his hand. Chetta saw multiple shadowy shapes throwing themselves at him, wielding crude bludgeons or swinging guns by the barrel in an attempt to succeed by brute force where projectile weapons had failed. Davis's blade eviscerated them all. Chetta caught sight of another approaching shape, firing a weapon not dissimilar to her own. Three las bolts spanged harmlessly off Nagiri's power armor before the Inquisitor fired back with her plasma pistol. A bolt of incandescent energy at the temperature of a small star left a blinding white afterimage in Chetta's human eyes as it burned a hole clean through the torso of this new foe. Her warp eye, however, saw something ancient, cruel, and malicious begin to unfold from the wreckage of its human shell. Demon! She screamed as a single jet-black horn erupted from the figure's head. It shambled forwards, its awkward gait a mockery of human perambulation, and reached out with clawed hands that were twice the size they had been a moment before. Chetta could clearly see the melted ends of ribs in the gaping wound that had been punched clean through its torso. But the damage didn't appear to be slowing it. Davis of Rawl charged the thing from its left and sank his power sword deep into its flesh with a thunderous thrust that skewered it completely. But it paid the blow no mind. Then the blade began to hiss and smoke, and in front of their horrified eyes, the power field winked out. Great blobs of plasteel began to drip to the ground as the weapon started to melt. Davis, to his credit, adapted quickly. He swung his storm shield at the demon with a roar, discharging the power of its inbuilt electrical generator into the monstrosity as the ceramite slab connected. The demon staggered back a step. But that was the only sign that Davis's attack had affected it in any way. Before the Crusader could strike again, or retreat out of reach, one of its black, taloned hands reached out and grabbed him by the throat. Then it seemed to breathe in, with an audible buzzing noise, before it exhaled a swarm of fat, black flies into Davis's helmeted face. Flies, with their soft bodies, should not have been able to penetrate a Crusader's ceramite armor. They should not have been able to pierce his helmet, flay the flesh from his screaming face, and then shatter his very skull. And yet, as Davis of Rawl slumped lifeless and nearly headless to the ground, it was very clear that this was exactly what they'd done. The demon turned back to the rest of them. Hellgun blast slid off its oily, rainbow-sheened aura, or was somehow intercepted by the cloud of flies that had now come back to encircle its nightmare form. Jekri's arc rifle didn't slow it. Chetta's companions began to back away from the warp creature and towards her, still firing. Nero had grabbed hold of Fel's flak vest and was hauling the badly burned big man across the ground. Hickett went down as a cultist got lucky with a shot. Now they weren't coming under fire. Oh, throne! Chetta hissed as the backs of her party got closer. They were going to blunder into her at any moment, and she could barely navigate this terrain going forwards, let alone backwards. Carmine broke ranks, stepping into the path of the demon, and his force staff glowed with sudden light as he swung it two-handed. Ave Imperator! The blow neatly bisected the demon at chest height, and this time, its sickening aura gave it no defense. Its head, upper chest, and arms sailed through the air for a few feet, before splatting wetly to earth, while the legs tottered forwards for two more steps and then collapsed.
The cloud of flies abruptly fell from the air, instantly dead. Carmine let out a fierce bark of laughter and raised one hand, preparing for another kinetic assault on the few cultists still arrayed against them. This time, he wasn't quick enough when the monster Chetta had dimly sighted before came storming out of the smog. It grabbed each of Carmine's arms in one of its huge fists, just below the shoulder, then wrenched. Carmine came apart like a ragdoll, both arms torn from their sockets, before he could summon his power to defend himself. He screamed in utter agony as twin fountains of blood spurted from his flanks. The monster raised a massive clawed foot and kicked Carmine in the chest, crushing his ribcage and sending him flying backwards. Whatever precognition Alisana Nero might have possessed didn't aid her enough to get clear of the grisly missile. Carmine's broken body flattened her. Chetta raised her las pistol and fired. She couldn't really miss, despite the adrenaline and weariness that sent her hand wobbling. But her shots achieved nothing. Then, the monster was on them. Villa's head was engulfed and crushed by one clawed fist, and the last of Chetta's guards went limp. Jekri's arc rifle burned the monster's side, but it snatched them up by their legs and dashed them down on the ground once, twice, thrice, until the former Skitarius's body came apart and their upper torso went tumbling away across the ground with a wail of mechanical agony. Nagiri's power sword took the monster's left hand off at the wrist. The monster's right fist struck the Inquisitor so hard that she sailed 20 feet through the air and came to rest in a heap with a clatter of buckled ceramite. Chetta fought to keep her bladder under control as the foul mutant's huge head swung towards her. It took one step, two steps, dust and gravel crunching beneath its clawed feet. Its massive mouth opened, drool spilling from between malformed, beast-like tusks.
Murderers!
Even in the grip of spine-numbing fear, Chetta could still feel shock. Had the thing just spoken?
Leave us alone!
The words were poorly formed, but they were words. The creature could speak low Gothic. If it could speak, it could reason. Did it know what was happening here? Did it realize how it was being used? Could Chetta appeal to whatever humanity might still lurk within its altered form? She became abruptly aware of the las pistol in her hand. It was clearly useless against such a being, but the monster was unlikely to have forgotten the burn marks she'd left on its chest mere moments before. She met the monster's eyes, held the weapon out from her body, and dropped it. Perhaps a show of good faith would... A series of explosions ripped up the creature's torso, blasting chunks of flesh out of its body and culminating in a final shower of gore and bone as the massive mutant's jaw disintegrated. It swayed for a moment, then slumped sideways. Fell's bionic arm, the only part of his body not burned by the fire that had engulfed him, shakily lowered his combi weapon. The effort looked to have taken everything he had left. He rolled from his back on his right-hand side in a semi-fetal position, frantic breaths, whistling audibly through his respirator. Chetta took a deep and somewhat shaky breath. Nagiri? The vox was silent. Chetta gritted her teeth, braced her right arm as best as she could against her cane and began to crouch, reaching her left hand out for the las pistol she'd just discarded. Nagiri! The vox grunted.
Chetta, you're alive?
It was another stupid question. But the pistol was nearly within her reach, and most of Chetta's brain power was focused on not overbalancing sideways.
I'm fairly sure that being dead wouldn't hurt this much. Emperor's blood.
There was another huffed grunt, and Chetta heard a faint scrape of ceramite from away to her right.
You killed that thing?
The question was an incredulous one, and Chetta was unsurprised. The notion of her killing anyone or anything was fairly ludicrous.
No. Fel did. Wait, Fel is alive?
For the moment, Chetta grunted.
Although he'll need a medicay soon if he's going to stay that way.
Her questing fingers finally closed on the las pistol's still warm barrel, and she clawed it closer
until the grip was within reach. I think we're the only ones left. A shape, moving ahead of her in the gloom. Panic gripped Chetta's chest, and she fumbled at her newly regained weapon, trying to raise it. The spitting hiss of an arc rifle rang out, and the figure screamed and fell. Chetta blinked the white afterimage away.
Jekri, was that you?
Jekri, I saw you torn apart, Nagiri stated flatly.
The severe structural damage I sustained was primarily to my mechanical components,
Jekri's voice replied weakly.
I also retained my weapon.
Primarily to your mechanical components? Chetta asked, contemplating the struggle that would be getting fully back to her feet again, and wondering if it was worth the effort.
My biological health is also failing,
Jekri admitted.
I can currently brace my weapon sufficiently to fire, but I cannot achieve significant locomotion, due to no longer being in possession of my lower limbs. However, I can detect no additional hostiles.
Chetta frowned. What about? The ghostly light of the ritual in front of her blazed into full life, drying the words up in her mouth. She squeezed her human eyes shut against it, but she realized after a second that it made little difference. The witch light was unaffected. This was warp energy, potent and strong, and only her pineal eye could detect it. Something had happened. Something that had whipped the slow-burning blasphemy before them into a raging inferno of power. It spiraled around itself, the tendrils thickening and intertwining, until it became something that was part flower, part serpent, part beacon, and all enrapturing. It was simultaneously the most beautiful and the most terrifying thing she'd ever seen.
It's begun properly, she said, forcing herself up and fighting back tears as she did so. Nagiri, get up! Emperor, damn you! We have to stop it!
That hadn't been Nagiri. It had been Jekri's voice, and abruptly cut off. Chetta scanned the darkness around her desperately, but her human eyes were still near blind, and the blazing power of the ritual that her warp eye could see illuminated nothing in the material world. She squinted, trying to focus. Was that the faintest echo of something? Over there?
Jekri?
Nagiri voxed. Chetta heard the clatter of armor as the battered Inquisitor finally pulled herself back to her feet.
Jekri, come in.
Too late, Chetta said, knowing in her heart that it was true as soon as the words left her lips.
He's still here, Nagiri. Niklau is still here.